turn together now to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The sermon text this morning is verses 5 and 6 of this chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 and 6. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My dear friends and fellow believers, what do you expect? What will you be expecting of Reverend Langerak as he begins his work here. How do you judge a minister's work? Probably heard some of the same things that I have. People saying he's good with the young people. He's easy to follow. He's a nice person. Very friendly. Things like that. Perhaps even, although I hope that you never say that of Reverend Langerak, perhaps even he's very entertaining in his preaching. How do you judge a minister? What's your standard for the work of a minister? And you, brother, to what standard are you going to hold yourself when you do the work of a minister here among us? Is your standard going to be some other great preacher who you admire and look up to? Going to try to emulate and be like this preacher or that one? What judgment are you going to make of your own ministry here? Are you going to judge the time that you spend here by the number of people who come to hear you? Going to judge it by our response to your preaching at work? I hope you all understand this morning that there really is only one standard by which a minister may be judged, and that's the standard to which you must hold yourself to. And that's the standard that's established here in the Word of God in those two verses that I just read. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If in his ministry here, Reverend Langerak is able to echo those words of the Apostle Paul, then you have no reason ever to criticize him or his ministry or to be dissatisfied. And you, brother, if you hold yourself to that standard, will be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ and a blessing in this congregation. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the theme for this morning's sermon, preaching Jesus Christ the Lord. And I want to begin by focusing not on that very wonderful and positive calling to preach Jesus Christ the Lord, but on that negative first part of verse 5. That's where I want to begin this morning. We preach not ourselves. There are, in my judgment, probably in yours too, far too many ministers who preach themselves. instead of preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. And you understand. I hope you understand that. I think you do, brother. You understand that you can't preach both. A minister cannot preach himself and at the same time preach Christ Jesus the Lord. It's one or the other. And it's possible for a minister to preach the truths of God's Word, not preach lies and heresy, but preach the truth of God's Word, but still be preaching himself. When a minister preaches himself, Paul says here he didn't do that. When a minister preaches himself, then he preaches in such a way that the focus of his preaching is not Christ, but him. Not Christ, but him. And the result of that is that the people, the members of the congregation, those who hear his preaching, instead of following Christ, become followers of a man, of the preacher. And that is the worst thing that can happen in the Church of Christ. That the members of the church become followers of a man. That's doom for the Church of Jesus Christ. A minister can do that. Paul mentions a couple of ways in verse 2 by walking in craftiness. And the idea there is that the minister in his preaching, even in the way he preaches, tries to be clever. And the result is, of course, that the people, instead of coming to see what Paul calls the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, come to hear the minister be clever. I don't know if that's the best word, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Paul is talking about ministers, at least today, who use jokes in the preaching of the word. And I'll tell you, the gospel is never a joke, nor has any place in it for joking. It is deadly serious. And there has nothing to do with telling jokes. The ministers who use fancy titles for their sermons, catchy titles for their sermons. But in the end, what they're doing is not preaching Christ Jesus the Lord, but preaching something that focuses attention on what Paul calls their own craftiness. A minister can preach himself, not Christ, but himself, by handling the Word of God deceitfully. And that includes all kinds of things. leaving truths out of the preaching because the people aren't going to like them. Adding all kinds of stuff to the preaching of the word because those who sit under his preaching have what the Bible calls itching ears. But the result is the same again, that the focus of those who listen to his preaching is on him. They talk about what a fine speaker he is. They talk about the fact that he always says something, even if it's not from the Word of God, that grabs their attention and that they remember when they leave the worship services, even if it's nothing to do with the truth. That's the kind of thing that the Apostle Paul is talking about here when he says, we preach not ourselves. Ministers do that when they think it's their business to get up in the pulpit and provide political commentary and social commentary of one kind or another so that the people are amazed at what a grasp they have of current affairs. And of the political needs of our society and things like that. Reverend Langerak, if when you've preached the word here, we as members of the congregation remember what you've preached better than who preached it, then you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ here. And that's the way it always is. Shouldn't matter very much who brings the word, but that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is preached whenever a minister opens his mouth. And nothing ever but that. Jesus Christ, the Lord. And I think if you look at those four words in verse 5, you'll agree with me that that's the whole gospel. Everything in the books of Moses, everything in the historical books of the Old Testament, everything in the Psalms, everything in the prophets and in the Gospels and in the epistles and in the book of Revelation comes down to those four words. Christ Jesus, the Lord. In those four words, especially in that name Jesus, is the great truth that he is the revelation. Paul calls him the image of God in verse 4. The revelation of God himself, God manifest in the flesh for our salvation. In those four words is the truth that he alone has the Spirit of God, The Spirit upon whose work we depend and without whose work we cannot even see the kingdom of God. Those four words include the fact that He is the only one who can teach us. That's why, by the way, in the preaching of Reverend Langerak or any other minister, you have to hear not just their voice, but the voice of Christ, because only He can teach. Our chief prophet, the Heidelberg Catechism calls him, and he's the only one who can teach us because he's the only one whose word has the power to penetrate our hearts and reach our hearts and change our hearts and then to change the whole of our lives. He's the only one who can offer sacrifice that pays for our sins and pray a prayer that God hears. You understand that, don't you? That no prayer you ever pray is acceptable in itself to God, but only through the prayers, the intercession of Jesus. In those four words is the whole of the Christian calling to live a life that glorifies God and honors Christ. He is the Lord to whom we belong by purchase, body and soul, with everything we have, everything we are His. It's not just the great doctrines of who and what Christ is, in other words, that are included in that short phrase, Christ Jesus the Lord, but the whole doctrine of sanctification, of growth in grace, of spiritual progress, of the believer making his way by faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord, to the place that Christ has prepared for him in heaven. It's all there. Every admonition that warns us against sin has to do with the fact that He is Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Will I use my mouth to sin and not heed the warnings of the Word of God against an untamed tongue? Then I have to remember that He is the one who purchased my tongue with His own life and blood. All the comfort that I need is there. In sickness and in health, in life and in death, He's my Lord. Think of Wes and Linda. All the comfort that they need and the difficult way in which God is leading them is in those four words. And so, brother, that's the only thing that you preach in this church. Ever, only Christ Jesus, the Lord. That doesn't mean you limit yourself to one or two verses. As I indicated, it's the whole of the Word of God. And that means that when you're making sermons Every minister needs to be reminded of that, although it's told him again and again in seminary, needs to be reminded of the fact that when he studies a text and prepares a sermon on that text, he has to make sure that Christ is the focus of that text. To use the words of a famous preacher of old, wherever he cuts the scriptures, it had better flow with the blood of the Lamb. That's the minister's calling. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Why must that be the sole content of the preaching? The Apostle Paul explains that in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why those four words are the only thing in substance that may be preached in the Church of Jesus Christ. The light that you and I need desperately. For without it, we're lost in darkness. In the darkness of our own sin and unbelief. But in the darkness of all the sufferings of this present time as well. And in the darkness of all the judgments of God that are coming on this world. And that light, the light that dispels the darkness that's in my own heart of sin and unbelief, the light that gives me hope when the whole world is filled with darkness. The light that gives me peace when my way in the world is dark indeed because of suffering and persecution. That light shines only in the face of Jesus Christ. Only there. He is, as he himself said, the light of the world. That without him, we have no light. And live in the darkness of our own unbelief and sin. Never, ever to see light. But that light, and that's a good reminder too, Reverend, that light that shines in the face of Jesus Christ is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's not nice platitudes, hope you know that word, but it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And if you are going to preach Christ Jesus the Lord and bring that light that the Word of God speaks of into this place, that you have to preach the knowledge of the glory of God. God's righteousness revealed in Christ and fulfilled in the saving work of Jesus Christ. God's holiness required of us and attained only in Christ Jesus. God's power in Christ Jesus, who holds the whole world in his hands. God's majesty as the one in whose service every creature, living as well as the brute creation, every creature marches to do his will. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's sometimes forgotten. I think you know that. People preach Christ, but they forget that Christ is the revelation and image of God himself. And so they forget to preach what Paul calls here in 2 Corinthians 4, the knowledge of the glory of God. And that's light. What else can give light? Well, the whole world trembles on the verge of war. But the knowledge that God holds the men who are responsible in his hand, and that they do, without exception, in everything, his sovereign and unchangeable will. What else can give light to Wes and Linda? The light that they need when their way is very dark. But the truth that God makes all things work together for good to those who love him, and they are, of course, those whom he first loved. Always, only those whom he first loved. And the Word of God says a remarkable thing to you, my brother. In verse 6, he says that God caused his light to shine in your heart. The hour there is not, first of all, the members of the congregation, but you and I as preachers of the gospel. He hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's our business. To give the light, and of course, if it doesn't shine in your own heart, you're not going to be able to give it, as the Word of God says to others. But that's the business of the preacher. He is one who carries the light. He's not that light. John the Baptist, or the Word of God said that of John. He was not that light, but bear witness of the light that men might believe, not in him, but in him of whom he spoke. That's your business. To put it a little differently, thinking of the fact that we're talking about light. Your business and mine as preachers is to be nothing more than a mirror. It's not my business and yours to see to it that that light gets into this heart or that heart. That's far beyond our abilities. But just simply to be as preachers who have themselves seen the brightness of that light, to be a mirror which reflects that light to God's people. If I may put it that way, that requires hard work. You have to keep the mirror clean and polished. But that's all you and I are. And that's what you must be in this congregation. And none of us has the right to criticize or to be dissatisfied. If that's what you're willing to be, and that's what you try to be here at this place. Now that requires two, and that takes us back to verse 5. That requires that you be a servant, really a slave, literally a slave. Slave first of God, and of Jesus Christ, and then the slave of God's people as well. So the Word of God itself, not only in those first that first phrase of verse 5, but throughout the passage, makes it clear that a minister isn't much in himself, just a means that Christ uses as the Savior of his own. And that's echoed, too, by the way, in verse 7, not part of this morning's text. But Paul says there, we have this treasure, and it is a treasure. Can't purchase it with gold or silver. More precious than anything in the world, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure, the Apostle Paul says, in earthen vessels. Mirror, servant, clay pot. It all comes down to the same thing. But as Paul also says in verse 7, that's the way it has to be. That no one ever doubts that the light is God's own light, and that all the glory and all the honor is given to him alone. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power be of God and not of us. But you have to be willing to be a servant. Servant of God, who does his work as slaves do, without any expectation of anything for himself. God rewards the service of faithful ministers. But if they're really servants, then they don't do their work because they expect something out of it. A full building, praise of men, mustn't be disappointed. If people don't hold you up as a result of your preaching and say of you, what a great preacher he is. That's all beside the point. It's God who must be glorified, God who causes his light to shine in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason, too, why when he calls ministers, he calls not the ones who, from a human point of view, would be the best, but people like this. Once in a while, a Luther or a Calvin, but not very often. Brother, my dear brother, when you are willing, and I think you will be, to be a servant in this congregation, that if you have no other reward for that, you have this. You will be walking in the steps of Christ himself. And by your very attitude as a servant, we'll be preaching Christ Jesus, the Lord. Living as a minister of the gospel, that grand truth of Philippians 2, he made himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, humbled himself even unto death for sake of our salvation. You do that, preach not yourself, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and yourself a servant for Jesus' sake. If you're willing to be a mirror only in this congregation, then you have the promise. We all have the promise that's implied in those first verses, those first words of verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that God's light, by his own sovereign saving work, will shine at his command in this place, as it showed when he called light out of darkness in the beginning, and will shine too, by his sovereign and gracious command, where it's needed most, in my own heart. Then, as we saw in verse 7, the excellency of the power will be of God and not of us. Then I and the other members of the congregation, though troubled on every side, will not be distressed. Though perplexed, will not be in despair. And even when persecuted, will not be forsaken. And though cast down, will never be destroyed. And then, you and I together, all of us together, when you preach, as Paul did, not yourself, but Christ Jesus the Lord, that we all will be looking, that's the last verse of this chapter, looking not at the things which are seen, That's a vain endeavor. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God grant you the grace, His own grace, to live up to that standard. Not one of your own making, not the standards that we in our foolishness sometimes set for a minister, but up to the standard of His word, and so make you a blessing in this place. Let's turn to the form for installation. It's on pages 100 and following in the back part of the Psalter.